The following is a presentation of Labor Radio, the voice of workers' world today in diversity, inclusion, and equality. This weekly program, with various labor leaders and experts, tackles today's topics and highlights the issues and concerns of workers, blue and white collar, discusses the labor way, and how diversity without inclusion is inequality. For more information, visit www.laborradio.nyc. That's www.laborradio.nyc.
Welcome, everyone. We are joined by a special guest, Ms. Laura Morand, who is the president, DC37, Local 2627. Good to have you here with us today.
Thank you again.
So our topic today is discrimination in the workplace.
Yes, which is a big issue. Mm-hmm. My local, which I represent the IT workers in the city of New York, is mostly Asian, a large population of Chinese and Indian, as well as other people of color, and they are subject to discrimination, harassment, unfair treatment, not getting unequal pay. They are sometimes treated less than others, and favoritism runs highly in the city agencies. And unfortunately, my members are subjugated to being discriminated in that they are not always given equal opportunity to raises, promotions, and discretionary increases and so forth. Sometimes they're not even picked up. I have a heartbreaking story of a young lady. She was provisionally hired as a computer specialist software at the DOE. And she was on the job, and when you're provisional, that means you have no civil service and you're not permanent. She was fully provisional. She had no permanent civil service title. So she was working. She was at the whim of management. And they had no problem with her work. Her work was excellent. But she was a, if I remember correctly, Middle Eastern woman. And she, but when the list came out in 2018, they said, oh, yeah, we picked up. And they picked her up. And then all of a sudden, they started finding all kinds of issues with her. Not with her work, but with her, how she talked and how she, her hand gestures. And they was constantly complaining. They wrote her up like four times for it. And they extended her probation by 6 months. And she was like, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I'm just talking normally, but I know. And then they moved her to a different location. And the stuff that they were writing her up on was just crazy stuff. It was like, and we fought it as best as we could, but the problem is, with her being on probation, we can only defend but so much for her. And it was clearly a case of harassment and discrimination. But and we even encouraged her to file an EEO with her agency. We always encourage members to go through their agency first to give the agency a chance to address the issue, which if the agency don't, then we encourage them to file outside. Because if you go outside first, they're going to send you back inside to the agency.
There's a certain process.
Right. So she did that. But when the agency said, oh, they didn't, it was unwarranted, they didn't find anything wrong, so we encouraged her to go outside. But she was, like, hesitant. And unfortunately, she was terminated last week.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, it breaks my heart. And I mean, I was like really tearful for a couple of days behind it because we fought so hard to save her job and to fight, because we knew this agency, DOE, is really known to have been discriminating against my members in particular. Is one of the agencies that I find the most people being harassed and treated unfairly at. And this particular woman, she would go to the bathroom and they'd be like, they're clocking her. Clocking how long it takes for her to go to the bathroom. Mind you, this is a highly compensated employee. She has 2 degrees, a bachelor's and a master's. She. You got to clock in and out when you're making over $90,000 per year. And guess what? In the industry, she can go in private industry and make 3 times that amount. But, you know, she wanted to serve and give back to her community by serving as a public servant. But yet, it was not appreciated. And now she's lost, and we're trying to, I mean, it's not really much we can do for her. But it's just a sad case. And that's one example. Another example, same school, same agency, DOE. This black gentleman, he was someone who came up, he went to public school and was in the MOUSE program that trained students to become IT, the work we're doing, desktop support. And then he became a an IT worker doing desktop support at the school. And then he took the test, became permanent. got promoted to a higher title called supervising computer tech. And DOE has this process, this policy of making members resign for their lower title before they go to a higher title, which, according to civil service law, that should not be. And I've been fighting it, and I'm trying to get legal to bring a case against them, because they should not make people resign from their lower title before they take a higher civil service title, because nowhere in civil service law says that. So that's an issue that we're fighting. But he, for whatever reason, he was able to get away with not resigning and taking a higher title. But for whatever reason, they wasn't crazy, because he's very outspoken. He's a little militant at times. So they had a problem with his personality, and they terminated him before his probation ended. Unfortunately, it was a different administration of my local. I wasn't president then, and the local really didn't do much to help him. And so he ended up having to go outside to get outside counsel to fight, and he was able to get his job back.
Wow.
But they brought him back at a lower title, less money. And I said, that's wrong. And it seemed like it's just so unjust. Well, fast forward several years later, he got on another list. And this different school wanted to hire him. You know, it took over a year of us fighting and pushing DOE, because they did not want to hire him. We had to go to the chancellor. His principal, who wanted to hire him, had to go to the chancellor just so they can hire him, to give him more money, because they don't have a problem with his work, but they didn't like him. And that's wrong.
So these are some of the issues that the union is facing and fighting on behalf of the members.
Yes. Okay. And there's only so much. We don't do, the DC 37 don't do individual EEO cases. I myself been looking into trying to fill that void by talking to attorneys, trying to get attorneys who that we can use that can help our members. We can't afford to pay for the full case, but we're looking to see if we can negotiate a deal, some type of group deal, that a firm or some type of attorney can assist cases that have merit and help make sure our members get some type of relief. So it's a big problem.
Okay, so thank you so much for coming and share the issue of discrimination in the workplace. And we know this is a common issue among, you know, persons of color, the minorities, and we wish you the very best in fighting those issues. Keep the fight, keep the spirit up.
I will, thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Morand.
This has been a presentation of Labor Radio, the voice of workers world today. This weekly program with various labor leaders and experts tackles today's topics and highlights the issues and concerns of workers, blue and white collar, discusses the labor way and how diversity without inclusion is inequality. For more information, visit www.laborradio.nyc. That's www.laborradio.nyc.